week Friday, 14th. No, is it? No, 14th, yeah. Okay. So we came back off holiday on Tuesday evening. It's not looking good, is it? It's really not looking good for this morning. Does anyone else want to have a go? Yes, well, we won't talk about that, will we? About who had the most with that. So anyway, I came home and you know what it's like when you've been away for 2 weeks and, you know, you've really been able to chill out and it's just, you come back and then suddenly you think, oh no, now you've got to get your head back into gear. And I was thinking, oh no, I'm leading worship and I'm speaking and I've got the prayer and my head was empty. I mean, that happens on a more regular basis than I'd like to admit, really. But no, literally, I was sort of thinking, I don't even know. I hadn't sort of thought, am I going to do a series? And in the end, because I hadn't sort of got any strong feeling about what to speak about, I thought, I'm just going to sit down with my Bible and I'm just going to just read something and hopefully, you know, I'll be inspired. And it's always a good thing to do, isn't it, to sit down with your Bible? Because when you do, actually, God does inspire you and God does speak to you. And I was just reading a couple of verses and I read them and thought, oh, I really like these verses. And then that just started me thinking, you know, I think probably all of us have got some verses that are special to us, that mean something, that in those times, perhaps when we're struggling, that we read those verses, or maybe we've got them up on a wall or something. And I thought, sometimes we become so familiar with them that we read them and we just think, oh yeah, that's nice, but we almost lose that freshness of them. And I thought, wouldn't that be a good thing maybe to do over the next few weeks, is to look at some of those passages that are our favourite ones, the go-to passages, and just to look at them again, maybe look at them in some detail, and just see if God shows us something afresh from them. So I think Norman will be pleased with the ones I've chosen this morning, but I don't know how many of you have heard of Blondin, who was a tightrope walker and an acrobat in the 19th century. He was famous for stretching a rope across Niagara Falls and walking backwards and forwards over there. And there was one occasion when there was a royal party that had gone over to Niagara, and they were watching him go backwards and forwards. So he went, and then he did it on stilts, and then halfway across he stopped and managed to cook an omelette. I'm not quite sure how that happened, and I haven't found a picture for that, but that's what it says that happened. And then finally he went over with a wheelbarrow, and then he came back with the wheelbarrow with a big bag of potatoes in there. And as he got back to the other side, he approached the people and he said, "Do you think that I could walk across this tightrope with a person in my wheelbarrow?" And everybody said, "Oh yes, yes, we believe you can do that. Yes, no doubt you can do that." And then he said, "Okay, who would like to get in my wheelbarrow?" And so everyone was like, "Yeah, well, we believe you can do it, but we don't want to get into the wheelbarrow, thank you." Apparently, later on, I think it was, another time, he asked if anybody, again, believed that he could carry someone on his back across the tightrope. Oh, no, they all said yes. And then he did the same challenge. And again, all the people said, oh, no. But then he turned to his manager and he said, "Would you trust me to take you across on the tightrope?" And he said, "Yes, I would." And he carried his manager across the tightrope on his back. And I think that's a sort of a good introduction to our... Sorry?
Stop
moving feet. Oh. I think I might need you to move this along. It's not... We had terrible trouble this morning. trying to get this PowerPoint on here, and I'm not quite sure. We don't know how we've got it on. We're hoping it'll move, but obviously not with this. With this? Keep talking.
Keep talking, yes.
Okay. I shall need to look at open my Bible then. It'll be slightly different in here because I use the NIV. So it's Proverbs chapter 3 and it's verses 5 to 6. And you'll be very familiar with these. Ah, there we go. So these are the verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Or in some other versions it says he will make your path straight. How many of you know those verses off by heart? How many of you have probably got it written down somewhere or underlined in your Bible? Or they're those verses that we look at, and we, especially in times when we may be struggling a bit, and we think, oh, yeah, that's what I need to do. You know, whatever's going on, he'll direct my paths. So what we're going to do is just split it into sort of four parts or headings. So first part. Oh, it's working. Did you do that or did I do that? So the first bit, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I wonder, when we talk about trust, what if someone asked you to explain what trust means, how would you explain what trust is? This is an open question. This is not a rhetorical question. So, anyone? Confidence. Yeah. So a belief in something. Yeah. So letting things go and just trusting God in that. Knowing someone's there for you, whatever. Okay, well, the word in the Hebrew, the word that's used there, the word trust, means to lean with the full body. So if you imagine a bed, to lay upon, to rest the full weight upon. So it's not just sort of a little, it's like if I lay on the floor, it's that trust that I'm putting everything on the floor and believing that that is going to support me. Probably in the way that we think in today's culture, the word trust means to rely upon, which I think we got, or to have confidence in. But the Hebrew word that is used here is stronger than that. So it's to trust in the Lord, using the word trust here, it's to rest your whole weight upon him, to put everything onto him, to depend on him completely. Now, if you think, we all have to exercise trust, don't we, every day? You're exercising trust at the moment that those chairs you're sitting on are not going to collapse. You're trusting that those chairs are going to continue supporting you to the end of the meeting. We trust that the banks are going to keep our money safe, some of us. So we exercise trust all the time and we don't think about it, do we? It's just something that we do and we don't think about. But trust is the practical outworking of faith, isn't it? Sometimes we find it hard to distinguish between faith and trust. They're very close together. You almost like can't separate them when we talk about the two of them. But trust is the practical outworking of faith. So it's when we trust God that we show that our faith in him is real. When we could be like those people, couldn't we, and say, yes, God, we believe that you can do these things. We can all say that. Yeah, we believe it. But then when God says, well, do you trust me in that belief, do you trust me? That suddenly it starts to, that's that sort of little question comes. Do we? We say we believe that God can do things, but do we trust that he can do those things? So there's that connection between them. And this first part of the verse is talking about complete trust in God. Trust in him with our whole lives, not just a part of it. And we can't pick and choose which areas we trust God in. So we can't say, okay, Lord, I'll trust you with my marriage, but actually my career, I think I want to be in control there. I want to deal with my career. I know what I'm doing there. We need to trust God with all our heart, with everything that we have, with our very being. So the Christian who's put his or her faith in God has to get into the wheelbarrow, has to be willing when God challenges us to be willing to say, okay, we're going to trust you with everything. We're going to trust you with our very hearts. Are you prepared to get into the wheelbarrow? The second part of the verses says, lean not on your own understanding. Now, if I'd have thought Patrick was here this morning, I might have tried to get the clip of this. How many of you have seen the clip from Only Fools and Horses, where Dell is in the pub and he's trying to look all cool, and he's telling, is it Trigger? Is it the other guy, Trigger? And he's saying, play it cool. You know, let's look cool. And so he's sort of on the bar like this, then he turns away, and as he turns away, they lift the thing and he goes to lean on it and he falls straight over. So when I read this, lean not on your own understanding, I have to confess that was the picture that I had in my head. I again looked at the meaning of the word that was used there, lean. It means to rest upon for partial support. Leaning is what you do when you walk with a stick or a walking frame because you're unsteady. And in the Old Testament, the couple of places where this is used, it's to describe leaning against a tree or leaning against a cliff. You lean on something when you're not strong enough to stand alone. So, we're told to lean not. Don't lean on your own understanding. And with our understanding, what does that mean? It's your decision-making ability, your mental faculties, your reasoning. And how many people set great store on their understanding, their reasoning? We see people, I think, you know, of people like Richard Dawkins, who is a very keen atheist and wants to promote that. And he's very much dependent on his intellect and his reasoning and his understanding. And yet, in depending solely on his reasoning and understanding, he has missed something completely. It's like Del Boy leaning on that thing. There's nothing solid there to lean on. So, lean not on your own understanding. Don't think that you know everything. Don't think that we have to understand everything. God is so big. God is so immense. How on earth can we possibly think that we can understand that? That we can understand God? What pride and arrogance is there in us if we think that? And this verse is saying here, don't trust your own understanding. Yes, use the reasoning and the intellect that God has given you. Of course, we don't just accept things, you know, willy-nilly. We do need to think things through. We do need to be wise and we do need to consider things. But don't let's make that the be-all and end-all, that because we don't understand why God does something, that it's God that's wrong or that it's God that's the problem. It's not, it's us, because our reasoning, our understanding, our intellect is limited. So, you know, don't think that we know better than God. Verse 7 that follows on from these two verses says, do not be wise in your own eyes. So in terms of that illustration of Blondin walking along the tightrope, trusting in our own understanding is like getting in the wheelbarrow, getting halfway across and turning around and saying, "Oi, Blondin, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it right. You're not pushing the wheelbarrow. You've not got it balanced right." And then we get out the wheelbarrow to try and show him. We all know that that's going to end in disaster, don't we? Because he is the one that has practiced. He is the one that knows how to do it. He's the one that's worked out all the logistics of it. We can't tell Blondin how to push his wheelbarrow when we've never done it before. Why would we try and do that to God? We know that, you know, if we did that with Blondin, we'd probably end up in the bottom of the Niagara Falls. So we try and lean on God, not on our own understanding. Don't trust your own ability to work out your life, but lean instead on God. Rest your weight on him. Proverbs 2 verse 6 says, "The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." That's solid. That's reliable understanding. We can lean on that. We can lean on the knowledge and the wisdom that God gives us. We can build our lives on it. And where do we find that knowledge and that wisdom? In this book. That's what God's given it to us for. It's here. Everything that we need to know, everything that we need to help us, he's given us in this book. And we can trust that. We oftentimes, you know, can have some words of wisdom for each other. And that's great. You know, sometimes we just have a sense that God has said something. But again, we need always to come back and measure it against what God has said. Okay, so someone says something to you. Does that sound right? How does that measure up with what God says about in the scriptures? So we work together by listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, reading our Bibles, trying to hear what God is saying to us and finding that wisdom in those words. So find your knowledge, find your wisdom, find your understanding in this book. And then the next bit is, in all your ways acknowledge him. Again, bit of a word description. Acknowledge is a form of the verb to know. Ack, if you think of it, AC, the middle bit is know. In all your ways acknowledge him. Know him. The underlying Hebrew word means to know deeply or intimately. It could be translated, in all your ways, know him. It's the way that the word is in Hebrew. It's like a command. It's telling you, you should do this. You should know him. And you should know him deeply and intimately. And so, the call is, to in every area of our lives, to acknowledge him. Sometimes we can almost think that our lives are a bit like in two bits. We've got the sacred and we've got the secular. But actually, it's not like that at all. Our whole life is sacred. Yes. Our whole life is given to God. So everything that we do is sacred. And if that's the case, then in everything we do, we need to acknowledge God. You know, we don't always think about it, do we, when we're going along? This morning, Mary encouraged us to think about, you know, well, what do we thank God for? Those are things that are with us all the time, every day, every minute, every second. We're perhaps not always thinking about it, but it's there in our lives. When we're following God, when we've given our lives to him, everything is given over to him. So God's there with us in the office. He's there with us when we walk to school or as we drive our cars or whatever we do, when our lives aren't divided into sacred and secular. So how can we acknowledge him? As we did this morning, by thanking him, by spending time with him, by living our lives in a way that honours him. Mark prayed for John that, you know, he may not even get the chance to mention the name of Jesus, but the very fact that he is there in in that room, talking to people, bringing the wisdom of God into his conversation, into what he's doing. God should be in every part of our lives. Just wonder, are the things that we worry about different to the things that we pray about? Are the things that we worry about that we don't even think to bring God into? Or do we pray about all things? Sorry, this is a bit small. Paul tells us in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Maybe they are some of the verses that we'll need to look at on another week. But it's there, isn't it? How do we acknowledge God in everything by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving? We present those things to God. In everything. So in all your ways acknowledge him. And the danger is that if we don't, we'll be half in the wheelbarrow and half out the wheelbarrow. It won't be comfortable, and it's a big danger that we'll actually fall out of the wheelbarrow. So we're either fully trusting God, or we take matters into our own hands. So where would you rather be? And that says, and he will direct your paths, or he will make your path straight. And that's a really encouraging promise, isn't it? And it is very encouraging, but it's also a bit of a warning as well. Because it reminds us that our path in life is God's path. And his way may not be the way that we would have chosen for ourselves. When we give things over to God and we trust him, we might think that we want to go this way, but actually God's plan for us is that way. And we have to trust that he knows what he's doing and he knows where he's directing us. Might not be the path that we would have chosen ourselves, but as Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Might not always be the path that you would want to walk, but if we're trusting in God, then he will lead us where he wants us to be, and that's the best place for us. Might not be the path that you would naturally take, and it might not be your idea of a straight path. But remember that when we're in the wheelbarrow, we go wherever the person that's pushing the wheelbarrow wants to go. We'll go where he takes us. So in all your ways, we need to know him. We need to let him direct our paths. Maybe not the way you want to go. Maybe not won't seem like the shortest way. But he'll direct our paths. Amen. And all he's saying through these verses is, trust me, know me deeply and intimately in every area of your life, and I will take care of the rest. I don't know how many of you have ever prayed and just asked God, you know, Lord, I just want to know what your will is. I just want you to know what I'm supposed to be doing or where I'm supposed to be going, and we get frustrated that we don't seem to hear from God, and so we start to make our own plans. But maybe sometimes we just have to ask ourselves, maybe we don't know, because actually it's not time for us to know. Maybe God will reveal it to us in his time and in his way, but it's just not for us to know at the moment. And we just need to be able to lean, like that the verse said, to rest, to put our weight fully on God and trust him in those situations. So maybe it would be good to pray together. Would you like to stand up? I'm just thinking that there may be some of you here that are in a situation where you know you really need to trust God, but maybe you're finding that a bit difficult because you can't see what the next step is or where things are leading. Or there may be those of you that struggle with allowing God to just have control in your lives, that you want to hold on to things because you're scared about where God is leading you. But this morning, we can trust God. So let's stand as we just pray together. And if you know that's something that you're struggling with, to put your trust fully in God, that you're struggling with just allowing him to lead you where he wants to go, then maybe just, you can hold out your hands or just in your hearts, just acknowledge that to God. Lord, we thank you that you have said that we should trust you with all our heart. And Lord, there are times when we struggle with that, when, Lord, we maybe doubt what you're doing or we're not sure about where you're leading us. But Lord, would you help us to trust you with all our heart and not to look to our own understanding of situations, but actually, Lord, we'll lean on you and trust you and know that you're not going to let us down, that we're not going to be falling on the floor, but actually, Lord, you will support us and you will be with us. And Lord, we just ask you that as we acknowledge you in all that we do, Lord, that you would direct our paths and that you would make that way forward straight and clear. And Lord, we pray that for those times when maybe it's not time for us to know what it is that you have planned for us, Lord, that we again lean on you, that we trust you. And Lord, now I just want to pray for anyone this morning that is struggling with any of those areas, with trust, with leaning on you, or with knowing where you're leading. Lord, I pray this morning that your peace would flood their lives. Lord, that they would know that you are fully reliable, that you are not going to let us down. And Lord, that we just want to put those people into your hands and ask, Lord, that you would just encourage them this morning, that you would reassure them, that you would give them your peace and your knowledge and your wisdom. Lord, because we ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue with our worship.